So I'd like you to stand with me, John chapter 21. We started last week. Part one was Breakfast with Jesus. BWJ. Get that imprinted on your mind. BWJ. I want to talk to you about the most precious thing in my life is breakfast with Jesus. I said you could take away everything else in my Christian life, but if I have breakfast with Jesus, I think it'll sustain me. I could stop preaching. I could stop teaching. I could stop being a pastor, but breakfast with Jesus, that ain't something I'd ever give up. So it's going to be part two, John 21. I'm just going to read to you verse 12, but we're going to go through the rest of the chapter tonight. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." When you wake up in the morning, listen to his voice, because he's saying to you, "Come and eat breakfast with me." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this truly wonderful invitation. An invitation as we look at through the scriptures, Lord God, we look at David, and he took you up on it. Paul took you up on it. Lord, so many others throughout the scriptures took you up on that great invitation to have breakfast with you each day, Lord God. And Jesus, you gave us an example of how you had breakfast with your Father each morning at the breaking of dawn. Lord, if it was good enough for you, it's certainly good enough for us. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just again imprint this upon our hearts. If people are here who do not have, Lord, breakfast with you each day, may tomorrow morning be the beginning of, Lord God, just a wonderful new adventure with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. I've been having breakfast with Jesus for 4 decades. It is absolutely the number one thing, the most important thing, the most wonderful thing, the most empowering thing, the most enlightening thing that I experience in my day. It's a time of peace, a time of joy. It's a time where God can give me a clean slate, a fresh start, and a new beginning, and empower me to go and live the life that he's called me to live. So when I was started last week, I said to you, the essence of prayer, of worship, of everything we just did, is ultimately to behold the Lord. You know, just Psalm 131, verse 4, "Behold, bless you the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord." So you could pray and not behold the Lord. You can worship and not behold the Lord. You could be lifting your hands and not beholding the Lord and clapping your hands, and you could be moving your mouth and words could be coming out, and you could not be beholding the Lord. The ultimate thing is to behold the Lord, to come into the presence of God, to basically focus on him, to magnify him. You magnify him. He doesn't need, right? He doesn't need to be magnified. He's as big as he is, but we magnify him in our minds. We open up the lens of our eyes, of a heart, so that we can see him and we can experience him. And ultimately, again, breakfast with Jesus is about being in the presence of the Lord. So it's not about just going through a bunch of empty motions. You leave more empty than when you went in. If you're experiencing and truly beholding the Lord, you're always going to go from strength to strength, and you'll leave stronger leaving that time than when you came in. So I said the purpose of this two-part message is breakfast with Jesus. What can you expect? And from John 21, what can you expect? So last week, again, the first five, you can expect that Jesus will reveal himself to you. In John 21, verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way, he showed himself. And you can expect that Jesus will reveal himself. Now, I'm not talking about a physical manifestation, but he will reveal himself to your heart, to your spirit. If you are born again and your spirit is alive, okay, you have now been given essentially a receptor. When you were dead in your sins, you did not have the receptor. I did not hear from God. I did not think about God. I did not worship God. I did not care about God and not pray to God. But when I was born again and he brought that part of me to life, it was dead, it was dormant, now I have that receptor where I can connect with God, and you will connect with him, and he will reveal himself to you when you come to him and have breakfast with him. Second thing, tender greeting. You can expect that he will greet you warmly. He will greet you tenderly. And again, we looked at John chapter 21, verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, children. He gives them this paidon, little child. And these were not little children. These are grown men. These are big, tough fishermen. This is Peter and John and Thomas. This is a bunch of the apostles. But he greets them tenderly, and he says to them, children. And he asks them, have you any food? And they answer to him, no. You can expect fruitful instruction. And we looked at verse 6. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Because if you're casting your net on the wrong side of the boat, you're finding none. And I'm not really talking about what you're going to be doing when you go out into the world, but when you are in his presence and having breakfast with him, he will tell you to cast your net into certain things in prayer, in worship, in the word, and you're going to find that you're going to experience blessing. So he's going to guide you, and he's going to guide you into blessings of abundance. So in verse 6, right? And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And they cast their net. Now, they were not able to draw in it because of the multitude of fish. They caught a multitude, 153 to be exact. And then the fifth thing we looked at, you will experience spiritual warmth. And in verses 9 and 10, then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals. They gathered around the fire of coals. There the fish laid on it and bread, and Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. It's a cool morning. It's spring. It's again, the time that Jesus was crucified when he raised from the dead. I've been up in the Galilee in March, April, May. The mornings are cool. Peter jumped in the water to swim. He comes out of the water. The water's probably about 60 degrees. And so they got a shiver in their bones, and they gather around the fire. But you can expect a warmth to come upon your soul when you come to the Lord and have breakfast with him. So number 6, okay, joyful fellowship. So again in verse 12, come and eat breakfast. It's an invitation to come and be with him. He's saying to us, come be with me. Come and eat the meal. You know this about eating. You like to eat in peace, right? I know if you have a bunch of little kids, that's a pipe dream, and that will go on probably until you're about they're about 18 years old and at college. But you know, just when you eat, you don't want to eat with people who give you agita. You like to eat and have fellowship and have good conversation, and you know that is what the Lord invites you. Look at the many meals, and I'll just touch on a few because he literally could preach. I could preach a series on people eating meals in the scripture. But you go back to Genesis chapter 18, Abraham. Remember the three men came to him? Who was the man in the middle? Yeah, it was Jesus. We have what we'd call a Christophany of the Lord. And they ate together. Remember Abraham, he gave them the best lamb, the best curds. And he had fellowship with them. Another time with Abraham and Melchizedek. What did Melchizedek serve Abraham? What did he put out? Kalamad? Squingili? I know those of you here, we were talking about this over dinner on Sunday. You know, the non-Italians here, you say, calamare, right? Kalamad. You say, mozzarella, it's mozzarella. Giving you a lesson in Italian. This is Italian Gavonics. You know, Gavon Gavonics. Now I'm really going. What did Melchizedek serve Abraham? See, Melchizedek's a type of Jesus. Some people believe Melchizedek was Jesus. Some believe he was Jesus. Some say he's a type of Jesus. He served bread and wine. It's a foreshadow of the Last Supper. It's the foreshadow of communion. But again, it's a time, and I love that picture. And that's Richard Harris. He plays Abraham in an incredible way, and in the movie. But you know, there he is. You know, just in that communion. In the Gospels, you see Jesus Matthew gives his life to Jesus. What does Matthew throw? He throws a dinner party. And he invites all of his sinful friends. Tax collectors, prostitutes, the scum of the earth. And they come and they eat with Jesus. And the Pharisees, of course, were highly offended when I guess they saw those people going into Matthew's house and Jesus go walking in. I want to tell you something about this. These people were outcasts, and they were condemned. They were fuel for the fires of hell. And according to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, the priests, they didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance to get into heaven. Yet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, they gather, and he eats with them. And it is a picture of God's grace. It is a picture of God's love. It is a picture of God's acceptance as he welcomes them, okay, to sit down and eat. He gives them a sense of spiritual dignity by eating with them. And it's just a beautiful picture of the love and the grace of God and his desire to have a relationship with sinners. In the Gospel of Luke, you see the dinner with Martha and Mary. Again, Martha's preparing the food, and Mary is sitting in communion with Jesus. You know, the argument ensues. Martha tells Jesus, tell her to get up and help me with the preparations. Jesus says she's doing the better thing. It's better than what you're doing. Not that what Mary was doing was not important, but what Martha was doing was not important, but what Mary is doing is more important. And having breakfast with Jesus is about sitting at his feet and communing with him. And of course, then the Last Supper. And you look at the Last Supper. A lot of times we're just looking at it from the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But you get into John. You want to really, you get over about the time of the Passover, and we come to the Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday. Do a study on John chapter 13 through 17, because that's all the dynamics of what was going on outside of Jesus breaking the bread and serving the wine. So he washed the disciples' feet to start, and then he gave a teaching on the Holy Spirit, and on the Holy Spirit really in teaching them that you are going to be temples of the Trinity, that you will be indwelt by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because the Father is in the Spirit and the Son is in the Spirit. And you see that in chapter 14 and 15. He gives them the parable of the vine and the branches. He talks to them about the relationship with the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives in chapter 16. Chapter 17, he prays for himself. He prays for the apostles. And guess who else he prays for? Us. You want to just get excited, go to John 17. Just look, the third prayer is a prayer for each and every one of us. Again, it's a picture of communing with the Lord, dining with the Lord, eating with the Lord. And then one other instance I'll focus on is the two on the road to Emmaus. And they're not recognizing him. Why? Because they thought he was dead. Why? Because they're walking into a sunset. And the really truth of the matter is, as Christians, we never walk into a sunset. We walk into a sunrise. And it's until they sit down with him, what did he do that opened their minds that it was him? He broke the bread. He broke the bread. Broke the bread. Gave it to them. And suddenly they realized it was Jesus. So just that is something you can expect to really enter into a fellowship with him when you have breakfast with him in the morn. Beautiful thing. You're going to commune with God. Second, number seven is true revelation. So in verse 12 through 14, Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So I want you to grasp this. They are absolutely certain and assured that it's the Lord. It's not their imagination. They're not seeing things. This is not some manifestation of a demonic spirit, right? They manifest themselves as angels of light. They manifest themselves in other Jesus. I just want to impress. When you are having breakfast with Jesus and you have come to him by faith, you have come in humility, humbly, repentance, and you've come with a hunger in your heart for him, and you're coming to him essentially through the word. Right? Because I think sometimes, I mean, have you ever had this happen? You wonder if it's Jesus and maybe just your imagination. Right? If you're honest, I think that you've had, right? I've had times where I'm just, is this just my imagination coming? And I had people sometimes come to me in the church with things that, I'm a little, kind of question stuff. Was it God? I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, this is what God is telling me to tell you for your life. And I'm like, whoa, I'm just kind of amazed that he just has not mentioned it to me. Of course, when you see these people's lives, they're always, they're usually quite shaky to put your faith in that. But I think if you understand, when you're coming to him his way, and you're coming to, to him, again, in faith, in his name, believing he is God, believing he is the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, believing that he died for you on the cross and was raised from the dead, and you're coming to him in humility, with a hunger to know him, I believe that you can be assured that knowing that it was the Lord, you could have that, that assurance when you come to him, and you have that experience. But that's the key thing. Breakfast with Jesus, and again, through his word. I want to show you a passage in John chapter 20:18. Mary Magdalene, after she had seen Jesus at the empty tomb, went to his disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord, and she told them that he had said these things to her. But see, she is certain that she has seen the Lord. She's absolutely, she's absolutely confident that she's experienced the Lord. And I believe that that is something that should truly be coming from when you, again, you have breakfast with the Lord. By the way, the apostles didn't believe her. But that is, I've seen the Lord. Look at Acts 4:13. This is when John and Peter and John are standing before the Sanhedrin. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You have breakfast with Jesus, you will have been with Jesus. And you will have, again, that true, genuine experience of him. And that is a wonderful thing. You can go to church, and you have this happen at times. I think many people, I think this is just the norm of, I think most people, I would venture a high percentage of people who attend church, they go to church and they never experience Jesus. They may be experiencing religion, or they're experiencing the pastor or the priest or the ritual. But they're not meeting Jesus. And you know what? You could take all that other stuff and throw it away. I'll just rather have Jesus, right? As we sing, really. You can throw all that, you can throw all the gymnastics, you can throw the whole, experience away if you're not experiencing Jesus. I mean, I don't see why I would go to church or, pray or commune if I'm not going to experience Jesus. Then you're like the Pharisee who was praying, right? He's praying to himself. He wasn't communing with God. So, when you come to him his way, you will be experiencing him. Number eight, feeding the word. So in John 21:13, it says, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. He's serving them breakfast. And when you come to the Lord and you have breakfast with Jesus, when I pray, the word is always open. I frequently just pray through the word. So I read like 5-6 chapters every morning. I'm praying through the chapter, you know, the word as I'm reading it. I'm coming across things that God wants to impress upon me, and I'm saying to him, Lord, you know, make this a reality in my life. Lord, you know, impress this upon my heart. And I might be, you know, praising. But essentially, we're coming to him, and we're in the word, and he will feed us. He's going to be feeding us. He's going to be teaching us his word. And in Matthew 4:4, Jesus makes that comparison. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus making that comparison between bread and his word. So when you're coming to him again, he's going to feed you the word of God. So we're coming and really we're having a meal. So when I say breakfast with Jesus, I don't sit down and have bacon and eggs with him. I have a cup of green tea or coffee. But it's just, you know, the breakfast is he's feeding me the word of God. And I'm dining on it. I want to share this with you, something. You want to get the most out of the word. You find yourself maybe at times reading the word and you don't even know what you read. You read the word and you walk away, you know, it's just gone. Come and you hear a sermon, you walk away, you don't even know what the preacher said. And I want to just tell you, to help to overcome that, and again, I don't know about you, I want to get the most out of what I do in everything in life. I want to get the most. So when it comes to the word, you need to bite into it. You need to get into it. And you need to approach. You ever, you know, have a meal that, you know, I mean, tomorrow, Sue's making tacos. Rachel, are you coming for dinner tomorrow? You better, because last Thursday, I was expecting tacos, and you guys didn't come. And she won't make them unless Giancarlo's there. And I got meatloaf or something. I can't even remember. See, I can't even remember what it was. You need to come with a level of excitement and anticipation when you're looking forward to maybe a good meal. I hope you have those in your home. You don't have to go out to a restaurant to only get them. But there should be a level of anticipation and excitement in coming to the Word. And you want to bite into it. And then you want to chew on it. And what do you mean by chew on it? You need not to just read it. You need to think upon it. You need to meditate. Psalm 1, right? It talks about that man that is so blessed by God that he's like a tree planted by living waters that yield his fruit in season. His leaf does not wither, right? Everything he does prospers because he meditates on the word of God day and night. Now, does that mean he's walking around with the Bible like this day and night? I mean, he has to work. They're doing something with his hands, and I don't know, he's a carpenter or he's a ironsmith or something. But you know, what it means is you take the word and you think on it, and then you take it as you go through the day, and you're thinking on it. So you need to chew on it, and sometimes, right, you start to chew on it, and then you need to swallow it. How many of you have found at times that swallowing the word of God can be difficult? And if you don't agree, you're a liar. Because at times, the word of God, right, it's convicting, it's tough, it's in opposition to your life, it's opposition to your flesh. Maybe God is asking you to give up something, to forsake a sin, or to make a sacrifice, or to start doing something that you have been resisting to do. So, I mean, and this is key, because if all you did was just bite into it and chew it, and you're not swallowing it, again, it's not going to have the effect, right? You have to swallow food for it to truly benefit your body, to strengthen you. And when you swallow it, then you need to digest it. And again, you're now really digesting it, you're now assimilating it, and it's becoming a part of your body. You're putting it into practice, practicing the Word of God. So you say, well, Pastor, you read 5-6 chapters in the morning. How do you manage to put all of those into practice? I don't. But I try to walk away with one key word. So I have read a lot, but I'll focus on one, just one key word. Write a passage, a paragraph, a concept, a thought that God is trying to impress upon my life. And I want to take that. And I want to be assimilating that as I go through the day. I like to review those the following day. And on Sunday, I review all the key words. So I should have 7 key words Sunday morning. And that's what my Sunday devotion is reviewing the key things that God has given me all week that I can then apply to my life. Number 9, a personal word. So in verse 15 through 17, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, so now he's just specifically going to talk to Simon. Simon's denied the Lord 3 times. So you're going to hear 3 words of forgiveness, 3 words of restoration. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Agape. Do you agape me more than me than these? Do you love me with the great agape love of God? And Peter said to him, he's now completely honest, yes, Lord, you know that I phileos. I love you with a brotherly love, phileos love. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. I don't know about that. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And then he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Again, agape, and he says, phileos. And then he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? Now, he said, do you phileos me? So Jesus said, do you agape me? Do you agape me? Peter saying, no, I phileos you. Now Jesus lowers the standard, and he says to him, do you phileos me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo. Okay, he's again, it's phileos. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. But this is Jesus dealing with the heart of heart of Peter. And he's dealing with that. I mean, he's dealing with the deepest difficulties, challenges, sins that Peter has. And that is something, again, you can expect when you're having breakfast with Jesus. He will deal with those self sins, selfishness, self-righteousness, right? All the self sins. He will deal with pride. He will deal with hypocrisy. He will deal with laziness. I think some Christians in this church, they could use some time with God, and they need to hear him about their laziness. Lazy Christianity, it's permeating Christianity today. People are just lazy. I mean, people are home tonight because they're too lazy to come here and work. You know who I'm talking to tonight, right? Hey, you know who I'm talking to in that camera? I'm not talking about the old people who have a hard time, right, who can't see at night, have a hard time walking. But man, I'm just like, I see people, I didn't come to church, I stayed home. We have people here, Gloria, what are you, 80? I know you look like you're 61, but Gloria, you're 81, you're here every Wednesday night. I'll tell you that though, Gloria, since I've known you, you could probably kick most of those people's butts.
I hope so.
Yeah. Remember Gloria here, us building this building, and she would come every Saturday, and she'd work just like a man. She'd lifting boards and using a sledgehammer, all those things that you did. Remember when I'd be up on the ladder and you'd come in the morning, what would I sing? Gloria, G-L-O-R-I-A, Gloria. Now just God will deal with you. You know, and if you're getting convicted tonight, I said this, no preacher has ever been able to convict me. And I read sermons during the week. I listen to some sermons. I read them more than listen to them. Great preachers, Spurgeon, McGee, John MacArthur. No preacher could ever convict me like the Holy Spirit convicts me in the morning and brings me to confession and repentance for my sins. And, that's the beauty of having breakfast with Jesus. He deals with you. And he'll deal with you in a personal way. Now, he'll deal with your sins. He'll also deal, though, with your hurts and your pain. And he'll deal with your deep-rooted issues. And he'll bring them to light. He'll shine his light on things that maybe you have buried. And again, you know what? This is all always in God's time. I would say that the best counselor, and I think Christians who have a deep devotional life, who spend, time alone with God, I find that they don't need to be running to counselors for counsel. Now, it's not wrong. Counselors are good. There's a place for pastoral counsel. There's a place for all that. But I just find when people are in the presence of the great counselor, he's going to deal with issues in your life. And he is, let me tell you, he is the master counselor. He's also the master healer who can heal things in your life. But when, you get with him and in his time, he's not going to pull out, the 10,000 issues that he needs to deal with you over the course of a lifetime in one day. He doesn't do that. But he will pull some things, line by line, time by time, and he'll deal with these things. And maybe things like things that have happened in your past, things that you're, holding in your heart, and he'll bring them out and he'll deal with you with them in a very personal and intimate way. And also, let me say, a very loving way. And then the last thing is just a daily command. And I find that that the Lord, he will always, you're going to get marching orders. And the ultimate, and this to me, this is the ultimate command. Most assuredly, I say to you, he says to Peter, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. To me, if follow me, walk in my steps. And he's saying, walk in my footsteps. Essentially, that to me encompasses the entire law. So when Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, that covered the first four commandments. The first four commandments deal in the relationship with God. The next six, right, love your neighbor as yourself, deals with your relationship with people. But ultimately, I just look at follow me encompasses them all. And to me, that's, that's the ultimate, marching order of the Lord. Now, again, I'm just saying in this passage, there's the marching order for Peter, follow me. See, Peter's saying, well, what about him? He says, don't worry about him, follow me. What about John? Is he going to live forever? No, don't worry about John, follow me. I have a plan for him, you follow me. And the Lord will give you marching orders for your day. He will give them to you. So, our application, I believe, again, breakfast with Jesus can be this incredibly rich and wonderful experience. And I'll tell you, I don't know of anything that is better than that. Before the worship team comes up, I want to just... I just want to sit for a second and talk with you. Does that help you? Yeah, does that help you? I mean, I'll tell you something. I leave here Wednesdays, Sundays, and been doing this a long time. I often wonder, I shared this with my wife, was that, did that have any effect? Was there, is that going to bring forth any fruit in, in people's lives? And, you know, I don't know. I don't see your lives. I don't see, you know, I see you here on Sunday, and most of us put on our Christian face when we come in here, but was what I shared with you the last couple weeks, was it helpful? Do you feel like it's stirring you to, you know, if you're not spending time with God, to begin spending time with God, and if you are spending time with God, to maybe do some things that are going to, you know, help you. We're not going to finish in a song. Let's just break up and pray in groups. Pray for our church. Pray for some of the people who are going through tough times. You can keep Freddie in prayer. Keep Tammy in prayer. The holiday's coming. It's going to be a tough time. Joanne, you too. And some others. We have some widows in the church. Pray for the ladies going to Pennsylvania. Safe trip going and coming home. That have wonderful fellowship as they usually do. And be blessed. And so let's go ahead. Break up. Let's break up in small groups and go right into prayer.